of chapter 8, questions by Maharaj Parikshit. Just a little background, then we'll read the verse. The questions in this chapter 8 form the basis for the next few cantos. Just like at the end of 19th chapter of Canto 1, two questions were asked that made up three chapters, the answer. At the end of those three chapters, a few more questions were asked that made up another four chapters. Those few questions were things like, because Maharaj Parikshit had heard from Shukadeva Goswami that the main subject matter that one should hear and chant about is Krishna Katha. So he started asking Krishna Katha questions. But the specific entry level Krishna Katha question was, can you please describe how the Supreme Lord does it? How does he do this creation? How does he manipulate his energies or engage his energies so that it happens? Can you describe all that to me? Surely you can do so because you understand these things. Your qualification, he describes his qualification. Maharaj Parikshit's question is inquiring into Sarga. Sarga is one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. It's the process of creation, and that process of creation then leads into the Visarga, the sub-creation of Brahma, naturally. And then the question answers goes further into it's like a question that's coming up, is now that you've explained that the Supreme Lord, he describes the whole process of the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu expanding the various universes, but he expands the universal form and all that very detailed stuff. As when he inaugurated, we were covering some part of Purusha Sukta confirmed. So that's the Purusha Sukta is all of that subject matter. The Lord and His energies, the Lord and Bharat Rupa, different subtext, sub-creations, so all of that's covered. Now, he's going to ask a whole, after having heard that, he's going to ask a whole series of other questions, some of which are further delineations on the same subject matter. Like he asks, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual. The lotus flower of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the lotus navel and the stem and the flower are spiritual. Brahma appears in the body of that flower. Is his body spiritual like the Lord's from whom he appeared or otherwise? Can you please explain? Like, where's the dividing line? It goes further in the question answer, because from Brahma, who is born from the unborn, so he's also called Ajah because he doesn't have material mother. He's the source of all those with material forms. So, where is it? Where's the dividing line? How are we to understand Lord Brahma, in other words? So to understand Lord Vishnu, we need to understand what Vishnu is and what's distinct from Lord Vishnu, and where's... It's quite scientific. There's many subject matters that make up the questions in this whole chapter, and Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version. Chapter 10, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. He summarizes answers to these questions, and you go through and there's the question, there's the answer, there's this question, there's that answer. He gives summary answers, and then Canto 3, he begins expanding on those summary answers. That's the format. So someday, I'm sure some of our scholarly devotees, I'm sure our acharyas have made the list of the questions and the corresponding answers and the expansions of those answers. Someday we'll do that. Okay, so this is text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The speaker is Maharaj Parikshit. He inquired. King Parikshit, first three verses. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, how did Narada Muni, whose hearers are fortunate as those instructed by Lord Brahma, explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord who is without material qualities? And before whom did he speak? So this is when Maharaj Parikshit asked his questions about the how does the Lord perform the act of creation, the response was, what a wonderful question. And appreciating the question, and appreciating the speaker, and appreciating the process, and then he ends by saying, this is such a nice question, it was previously discussed between Narada and Brahma. And another chapter begins. Narada asks the question of Brahma. Brahma gives his answers. At the end of giving his answers, Brahma then says to Narada, now you explain it to others. So, that's this question. How did he explain about the qualities of he who has no material qualities? There's this saying, nirvachaniya. God is so great, there's no words to describe him. The Jewish faith had some idea like that. The potency of God is so great, you can't utter it. And the impersonals. Nirvachaniya. You can't speak about that which is beyond material. So how did Narada speak about that which is beyond material? And before whom did he speak? I wish to know. Narrations concerning the Lord, who possesses wonderful potencies, are certainly auspicious for living beings in all planets. The potencies of the Lord are released by describing them. You know, like chewing a globjimon, the juice comes. It's embedded in it, but you don't experience that until you. So what was that chewing? What was the experience of Narada and his audience? Those wonderful potencies that were beneficial for Narada and the audience that heard it. Oh, greatly fortunate Shukadeva, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, thus relinquish this body, in a very nice purport, explaining that Maharaj Parikshit, he was already fixed. What he's heard so far, because his qualification is so great and Shukadeva's qualification is so great, he was already with, you know, trembling, with bhava symptoms, trembling, tears in his eyes, just hearing it. He's on that fully cleansed spiritual platform. He wants to stay on that platform. He knows the means of doing so. That's hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, so that his mind remains fixed in that position. So whether in the sadhana, bhava, or prema stages, the effect is there. There's potencies in the topics of the Personality of Godhead, and one can become cleansed or stay fixed. Become fixed or stay fixed, whether it's the sadhana stage or the or abhideya stage or prayojana stage. The immature or the mature. The effect is there. The mind becomes drawn because the potencies are there to attract. Krishna means to attract. He attracts the mind. When the mind becomes attracted there, it doesn't waste time over other places. And when that's the position of fearlessness. Not only fearless of death, but even whatever may happen. The dualities of material life are always coming at us, and how do we stay fixed and not distracted or completely absorbed by that external energy? That which prepares, so what he's saying is, I want to be prepared to meet death in this fearless condition. Please be kind upon me and continue speaking these messages. Last paragraph. Maharaj Parikshit had already given up all his connections with his kingdom and family, the most attractive features of materialism, but still he was conscious of his material body. He wanted to be free from such bondage. Also, by the constant association of the Lord. So that statement says that the mind category had slackened, but the eye category was still some residual stuff, and he wanted that to be gone too. No longer conscious of your body. So, śrīṇvataḥ śraddhayā nityam, śrīṇvataḥ śraddhayā nityam, prinantascha cateṣṭitam kālena nati dīrghena bhagavān viṣate hṛdi. Śrīṇvataḥ śraddhayā nityam, prinantascha svacheṣṭitam kalena nati dhirgena bhagavan viṣate hṛdi. Persons who hear Śrīmad Bhāgavatam regularly, nityam, and are always taking the matter very seriously, grinantas ca svacheṣṭitam, grinantas is accepting, svacheṣṭitam means very seriously by one's endeavor, svacheṣṭitam, cheṣṭitam, endeavor, seriously endeavoring to take within that message by the hearing process. Shraddhaya, with great faith. So he's disclosing how that benefit is best obtained. Regular hearing and taking the matter very seriously to apply it. We'll have the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, manifest in their hearts within a short time. And this is the Kalina Nati Dirgena. Kalina refers to time. Ati Dirgena is a long time, and Na Ati Dirgena is short time, not a long time. Kalina Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate becomes manifest. Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. So, Srinvata Shraddhaya Nityam Grinantas Chasva Cheshtitam Kalina Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifest in their hearts within a short time. Like Dhruva, for example, or Narada in his previous life, or Vyas, and so on. Chief devotees or materialistic devotees of the Lord are very much desirous to see the Lord personally without meeting the requisite qualifications. Such third-grade devotees should know well that material attachment and seeing the Lord face to face cannot go together. It is not such a mechanical process that the professional Bhagavatam reciters can do the job on behalf of the third-grade materialistic pseudo-devotees. The professional men are useless in this connection because they are neither self-realized nor interested in the liberation of the audience. They are simply interested in maintaining the material establishment of family attachment and earning some material benefits out of the profession. This whole, almost every verse, Prabhupada blasts the process of taking the Bhagavatam as a profession to recite it, to earn livelihood and flatter the audience and tickle their sensibilities, the things that they like, and call that Bhagavat Sapta. Such cheap imitation can't help anybody. Maharaj Parikshit had no more than 7 days to live. But for others, Maharaj Parikshit personally recommends that one hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, nityam, always by one's own effort and with serious devotion also. That will help one to see the Lord Sri Krishna manifest in one's heart within no time. Final paragraph, the pseudo-devotee, however, is very anxious to see the Lord according to his whims, not making any serious effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, and without detachment from material benefit. That is not the way recommended by an authority like Maharaj Parikshit, who heard and benefited by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The next verse I really like. It's one of my favorite Bhagavatam verses. So this is the terms in this verse are terms that I appreciate the poetry of the Bhagavatam, so please excuse me while I share some of that appreciation. This Grinatash Sva Chasva Cheshtitam Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhavaha, same the verse that Prabhupada puts in the preface every canto, every volume, the verse spoken by Narada to Vyas, where he's instructing Vyas to compose this Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says, essentially, even if it's irregularly composed, because the subject, that's not the critical thing. Technical precision is not what makes the Bhagavatam perfect. It's the subject matter. Because the subject matter is Krishna, even if irregularly composed. It's so spiritually powerful that Srinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadavaha. So good persons will receive ultimate benefit if they hear, chant, and apply a similar, same word. Bring that message within them. So that's what we're supposed to be doing when hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not a mechanical process, it's not a certain behavior that's nice. If we do it, it's nice. It's nice. But it's meant that we hear with some endeavor svachetitam. It's like when chanting. You can chant and multi-process while you're chanting. Like, you know, a japa tape that's in the background while you're doing something else. You can just chant and it's going on. And you're Chaita, your consciousness can be somewhere else. And that's an offense. Inattentive. Where does your attention go while chanting? It takes some effort. Sva chaitatam. Sva chaitatam. You apply yourself to bring your attention to the chanting. And when hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also, it's not passive. Just stand, like stand in the shower and just wait for a while and then you're all clean. You walk out. You know, it's an active process of cleansing. And that's when it goes most deep, is when that eager attentiveness, when consciousness, sva, chaitatam, you're striving to receive the message, not as an intellectual exercise, okay, what's this, that, and the other thing, like a material subject matter, but that you bring your consciousness to Krishna, just like in chanting. There's the holy name, and you bring your full attentiveness to Krishna in the form of his holy name. And these messages of Krishna, the potencies are experienced and realized by that qualitative effort. It's an active process, not a passive process. In other words. And grinatas cha so chaitatam. From that endeavor of hearing the messages, then carry the messages. Carry the messages in the form of remembrance, carry the message in the form of application. You carry Krishna consciousness with you, and it becomes part of your everyday life. It's a qualitative change, and it's meant to bring about a qualitative change in life. Prabhupada is commenting, in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, his assignment is, he's got to fix his consciousness because in 7 days his time is up. And our consciousness, our assignment is, we have most likely, not for certain, but most likely some years to live in this world. And how are we going to impact the lives of others by how we live our life in this world depends upon how we live our life internally, what consciousness we carry. And that definitely has an impact on other people. Besides our immediate family and friends, all the people that we interact with in the course of while we're on this planet, in this body. So for Maharishi Pariksit, it's 7 days and seven nights non-stop. And that's the application of Nityam for him. And the application of Nityam for us is to regularly, always, well, that's the word for word, regularly, comma, always. Nitya means eternal. So, at least, regularly, hearing in this very special aptitude. And it makes a qualitative change in consciousness, and then from that, in our outlook, and our how we speak, how we act, the qualities that we carry. It transforms the whole experience from being in the material world to being in the spiritual world, even in the present time frame, even in the present embodiment. Now from the previous verse, Prabhupada is connecting that message to this verse. That is that the Nivritti message. The Nivritti message says the purpose of this activity is not bringing about some piety so that we will then be more prosperous, or bringing about some affectation of emotion so we'll become a little softer hearted and tears will come to our eyes and we'll feel better. Mm-hmm. Some emotional experience. And there are certainly people that have that position. I remember one gentleman that will just leave his name out, but he expressed very bluntly, a wealthy man with a big home and, you know, just looking for something to do with his wealth. But he had some devotional attraction. He said, he explained very clearly, I and persons, the circle of friends like me, things have to be packaged very nicely. Because if they're not packaged very nicely, even the quality of the devotion may be something of greatest purity. I and my friends cannot appreciate it because we're very materialistic. He was giving us advice about having a program at his home. The packaging has to be really good. Because that's what people look at when they buy the product, is the packaging, not what's inside. He said, that's just the way we are. You know, I have some sense that what's more valuable is what's inside, the quality of the devotion. But I'm just letting you know, this is the circle that I move in. It's materialistic. And this man, when we would have kirtan and Bhagavad Gita, he would, you know, I don't know if it was practiced or what, but tears would come and like that. But he was admittedly very materialistic. So what's the professional reciter bashing that Prabhupada does repeatedly is that material gain or even subtle emotional experience that people have is useless from the spiritual perspective, because what's intended to have happen, or it's abhas. It's just a reflection. Maybe reflection is nice because it indicates here comes the object, or it's reflection of the real thing instead of just gross ignorance. But if persons take the reflection of the real thing to be the real thing, then they become attached to the reflection instead of the real thing, then that's greatly unfortunate. So how to get the real thing? This nirvriti path has to be gone down, like Maharaj Parikshit. So with us, that the attachment to externals needs to slacken. And then there's a greater qualification or greater potential for realizing the fullness of this Bhagavatam message. So it doesn't require literally as Maharaj Parikshit did, just give his kingdom up and take off his royal dress and wear a loincloth and sit on the bank of the Ganges. But it does require a detachment from the false sense of proprietorship of those things, and with proprietorship, this is my enjoyment, this is my little kingdom. And as Prabhupada indicates, that's difficult to give up, but even more difficult to give up is the misconception of the body as the self, because that moment will also come, as the possessions will be taken and the body will be taken. If one's sense of identity is the body and the body is taken, it's horrible. It's very fearful. And for one that doesn't have that identification, one can remain not only fearless but fixed in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness and sense gratification don't go well together. Krishna consciousness and identification with the body don't go well together. So while philosophically understand that, this is providing us practical means to get there. There has to be willingness to let go of the material side in order to fully take shelter in the spiritual side. I want to read the next verse. I'll just read the verse and discuss it a bit, and then tomorrow perhaps we can go into it some more. The text 5, chapter 8, Pravishtakarna Randrena Svanam Bhavasaroruham Dhunoti Shamalam Krishnaha Salilasha Yata Sharat. Pravishta. Pravishta means enter. Having thus entered Karna Randrena, the hole in the ear, the sound vibration, when it's heard in that manner described in the previous verse, here's what happens inside. Svanam Bhava Saroruham. The Svanam, according to one's constitutional position, or in the liberated state, the soul's condition in the liberated state is touched by that sound vibration, pierces, penetrates through the layers of the covering of the soul, and its Svanam, Bhava Saroruham, its constitution, with constitutional ecstasy, Bhava, of the soul in its liberated state is stirred, is moved. Saroruham is the seat of that relationship with Krishna, those emotions, the pure emotional state of the soul in its liberated condition, on that lotus flower of that relationship. Dhunoti means cleansing. Shamalam is what gets cleansed. Material qualities like lust, anger, greed, hankering, etc. So those lust, anger, greed, etc., they're called the six enemies, or the, in Bhagavad Gita, the gates to hell. It's what those coverings of the soul are, they're very embarrassing, and they're there, and one can, the Bhagavatam method, the Bhagavatamarg method, is cleanse them, penetrate through them, awaken that consciousness, and when that consciousness becomes awakened, they're discarded. Dunoti shamalam Krishna, huh? Salilasya yata sharat. Yata is when you see the word yata, it means this is a metaphor. As the so that. So yata tata. So yata is salilasya yata sharat. Just as in the autumn season, when rain falls on a muddy pool of water, the mud separates out of the water. So the autumn season comes after the rainy season. The rainy season, everything gets all churned. And when there's very light after the rainy season, and everything, the lakes and bodies of water are all muddied, light rain falls. When that light rain falls, something happens. The tension on the surface of the water is such that the mud separates out and it becomes clear. So, like that happens, so the impurities that are in the heart by this particular hearing process, what we heard from text 4, Dunoti Shamalam Krishna. So, overcoming bad qualities, I think next time somebody asks the question, Maharaj, how do I overcome this and that? I'll just recite this verse. Purishta karna randrena. Svanam bhava sarorohaṁ. Dunoti shamalam Krishna. Salilasya yata sharat. Sharat, the autumn season. Krishna performed the rasa dance during the full moon night of the sharat season because it's so pleasing. After the rain, after the rainy season, everything's very green. Very, atmosphere is very nice. Peaceful. Rasa dance time, and the light rains and have an effect on the lakes, and the hearing of the topics of Krishna done in the manner described before cleanses all misgivings from the heart. It's attractive, it's poetically very, very nice then to do. But the poetry of the Bhagavatam does inspire the heart. The verse again. Shrinvata shradhaya nityam grinatas cha svacheshtatam kalena Nati dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Hridi. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. doesn't give any condition. It says you have to give up your this or that. Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Marg method, method or path is not like that. Reduce your affectation for those whatever things, but Swane Stitak Shruti Pitam Tanuran Nanobir. One is in a particular position because there's inclination or tendencies. It's not that you just have to break those tendencies. You withdraw the sense of I can get enjoyment from those things. You keep those things. Propensities are there. Invest your consciousness in this hearing, potent, very potent hearing process with great effort and eagerness to hear, eagerness to reply, eagerness to carry those messages, and messages themselves will. Krishna enters the heart and cleanses. It's not like we want to make Krishna our janitor, so come into our heart and make the dirty place clean. But it's the natural potency of Krishna that's what happens. We welcome Krishna into our heart in the form of his name, in the form of these wonderful messages. Like, turn on the light and the darkness goes. Any discussion?
Yeah, Maharaj. The process of hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is hearing to the, let's say, to the recording considered the, sure. The process of
sure.
Hearing?
Sure. To illustrate that, reading Bhagavad Gita is a recording. Krishna spoke it, Sanjaya spoke what he heard, Vyas wrote it down. I'll amplify the answer. The reverse way of the question you ask, people make a statement by saying, Arjuna was very fortunate. He was able to hear from Krishna directly, but what's the chance that we could hear from Krishna directly? Therefore, we can't get the benefit. We're not hearing directly as Arjuna heard directly. And Prabhupada would address that question from time to time in lectures by saying it's not so. Message that he would then say is that through disciplic succession, if one may not hear from Krishna, but one hears from one who has heard from Krishna, then it's the same. And now the question you're raising specifically is, this is something that Gaura Govinda Maharaj got into from the lips of the pure devotee. But the excuse me, the answer to that is that Prabhupada's statement that one in disciplic succession, one who repeats the words of the perfect person they're speaking is perfect. Prabhupada, in Mayapur, you probably heard me describe this, but in Mayapur, Prabhupada entered a state of samadhi describing this very point. He repeated this thing three times. When Krishna says, surrender unto me, and the spiritual master says, surrender unto Krishna, that's Krishna speaking. And that's the mystery of disciplic succession. He said it again, and he went into samadhi, right in the Vyasa song. But that's hearing from the lips and not hearing recording. But the hearing is the same. It's a sound vibration recorded. Our spiritual potency is lost by writing Srimad Bhagavatam rather than Krishna speaking Bhagavatam, Krishna speaking Bhagavad Gita. Many persons, you know Kurma Rupa? Kurma Rupa is a Prabhupada disciple that lives in Vrindavan. He never met Prabhupada. He never heard from the lips. He was reading his books and hearing recordings. And he's such a staunch devotee. He never had even one moment of personal in. But he did this method. He's quite an amazing devotee. That's not from his side sentiment, and there's nothing spiritual that has taken place. You can't keep a configuration of mind fixed like that for so many years on sentiment. It's something real that's taken place.
This verse is spoken by Parikshit Maharaj.
That's right.
So is it like he is expressing his realization after hearing for a significant
time? Yeah. He's subjectively experiencing, and he's also describing the process. It's perfectly appropriate. Anything else? Yeah.
Maharaj, how to identify professional reciters? Because there are some which are more obvious, some that are not.
Well, it's not just by their lifestyle. Like there are some, without mentioning names, there's some that are known that they don't take any money from their recitation, and they're appreciated because they don't take any money from, although people give gobs and gobs of money, they don't maintain their families through that money. They maintain their family in other ways. When they recite, people give, and that goes to some charitable thing. Everybody knows that, so they're happy to give because it goes to a charitable thing. So, certainly that's one criterion. Somebody may be coming even from a bona fide tradition. So the message is the bona fide message, but the consciousness may be not a bona fide consciousness, or they're taking that wonderful message as a way to maintain the livelihood. So a lot depends upon the consciousness behind the act. Like in another sphere, the worship of a deity could be taken up by someone. We find this in some temples in Vrindavan and different places where the deity is the family livelihood. And they harass you. And sometimes, they're like gundas. You don't get darshan of the deity unless you give money. And they, you know, they're explicit. They're gross, explicit. You know, so that, although they may be from a tradition that's different, their consciousness is wrong. It's one of the things that makes visits to holy places sometimes, you know, an unpleasant experience. Is these people that just harass. So, when you find, we had such a nice visit in Jaipur where the trying to recall. Remember the experience with Pujari more than I remember anything else. At the very one of the original deities that were in Vrindavan and moved for safety. The deity of Lokanath Goswami, if I'm not mistaken. And the Pujari, the worship was beautiful. But, you know, the place was very simple. And he was just so happy to have devotees come and have kirtan and have katan. He was just such a simple man. Just so happy. And I asked him how long he had been doing the service, and he said, my whole life since a small boy. And just the way that he was describing, you know, I don't have any desire to go anywhere else or do anything else. I'm happy to serve. So the deities. Sringar is so nice. He just felt it. Said, I'm just happy to be here. It's not, you know, he's got his team working the crowd. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's quite different in other places. It's not a profession, it's just devotion.
What should be a devotee's attitude towards such reciters?
Towards which?
Towards such professional reciters. What can one do to avoid being contaminated and also help others?
When you recognize that that's the program, you don't participate. We don't have to. Prabhupada as the Acharya is warning us. It's not that what we need to do is go around and bash these people. He's speaking as strongly as he is to protect his followers. So as followers, we don't need to go bashing them. Inwardly we need to be very cautious to not interact with in any way, and those that we may be guiding or training to help them similarly understand. You know, our manner of communication cannot profile itself after Prabhupada's. But the message should be clearly expressed. And some people choose to not get it. Some people I know, they choose to not get it. They did, you know, they go through this stuff and say, what's the harm? It's Krishna. It's the Bhagavatam. He doesn't say anything impersonal. What's the harm? You know, and these are people that read Prabhupada's books. When it's, you know, verse after verse after verse after, they choose to not get it. So that's the knowingly drinking poison position. And then they encourage others because they don't get it. I think it's nice. They've explained this pastime in such a nice way. With I feel attracted to Krishna. So depending upon one's spiritual position or stature, one can interact with those people and help them understand. This is not what Prabhupada is teaching us and why. See? Here it's very clear. Why? Anything else? Yes?
There is a situation that the person who's hearing is not understanding the language, the external language of the message spoken. So is it just the sound or vibration that purifies the heart or the message?
Both. There's certainly conceptual things that language permits. But even if one doesn't understand the language, it's purifying. If supposing somebody is hearing Prabhupada recite, because there are recordings of Prabhupada reciting Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't understand the language. Is it purifying? And therefore, one might conclude, that's all one needs to do. You don't need to hear speaking in your language. But there is benefit in hearing speaking in your language, because there are concepts that are forming and misconceptions that are eradicated, and that's also part of the process. Therefore, Prabhupada translated into English and from English into so many other languages. Is there benefit if one doesn't understand the language? Yes. Just hearing the sound vibration.
When we are hearing lectures, there's so many application points that we feel inspired to. But then,
something happens.
There's so many points that there are, so we do not know what is the priority. Which one is
prioritize?
What should I
prioritize? You know, there are obvious ones to prioritize. Essences. Like, you know, is it the holy name, chanting of the holy name, the essences, and take core ones and throughout your life apply them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends for removal of, how does he call it? It's anartha nivritti, but he calls it eradication of. Not eradication. Removal of something. I'll find it and send it. He identifies that one should take certain things that one wants to improve on and focus. And if you're spread out all over the place, that's not focused. But take something. You can, if you accomplish something, improving something. Identify something that you feel is doable and critical. And focus. The other things can be also inspirational, but don't lose focus. You accomplish that one thing, and you will find, following behind that one thing, several other things will be accomplished. Visually, it's like pulling a tissue out of a tissue box. just grab a corner, get a firm hold of the corner, pull. The whole tissue comes out. You have to reach in and grab the whole tissue to get the tissue out. You focus on one thing, many other things will flow behind it. They'll be easily and naturally, not automatically, but successively accomplished by that one thing.
Okay. I have to go. Okay. At 9 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And I have to go. Okay. You'll be here tomorrow, in the morning?
I'll be here in the morning.
If it's in America?
Yeah, great. Very well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Anything else? Yeah.
What are the symptoms of a person who is materially completely bereft in the Krishna consciousness perspective? Like practically, what are the changes that...
materially bereft or spiritually bereft?
Like one has to decrease one's attachment for material possessions and aspire for material things. So as we progress in the spiritual path, those aspirations are meant to go down. Yes. And down and down. So practically, like, what are the changes that one will go through as one progresses on the spiritual path?
Well, the healthy side is where spiritual attraction awakens, and it's on the strength of spiritual attraction that one finds there are that spiritual attraction is being muffled or restricted by things unwanted. And on the strength of spiritual attraction that's now restricted, wanting to remove those restrictions or coverings, not the other way around. So a symptom is of going down the akinchana path or nivritti path is some faith in the process, adherence, faithful adherence to the process. I mean, some persons can be faithful to the process but say, I can't. Then faithful adherence to the process. You know, Prabhupada always, this is now in the Bhajana Kriya stage, both of those statements. Prabhupada always, or I should say, consistently would place taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and receiving initiation. That's consistently something to Prabhupada. That's like, you know, plugging in. And he included that in the Bhajana Kriya stage. And when plugged in, it's not that anartha nivritti doesn't start until that happens, but that's when predominantly the obstacle removal program becomes prominent. It's on the strength of the plug-in, the Bhajana Kriya. So, an attraction for strong performance. Initially it may be dutiful, I have to do this because that's what you do. But then an attraction for strong performance of devotional practices. Then comes a awakening from that is this striving to diminish. In the beginning stages, there's some things that are obstacles or like excesses that we really don't have any problem with. They just drop off. And there's some other things that are much more near and dear to us. We're attached to. And those go more slowly. And so part of it is just the process of devotional service itself reduces the amplitude of those things. And to another degree, as this verse indicates, an eagerness to bring our consciousness to the sadhana, the hearing of the name and the hearing of the message. And there are things that are distracting us and distracting us. And it's a nuisance. We don't want to be distracted. We want, so we deliberately try to eliminate that nuisance, that distraction. That's a little bit of detail. That the principle that Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes is that one should test one's own spiritual progress in various ways as one is moving on the path of spiritual life. Is good. Evaluation, not only in business, but in your own spiritual practice, is good. And it's not in a critical sense, or in a negative sense, but one of the evaluations is this very point that you're raising. My attraction for worldly things is diminishing. And conversely, my attraction for the activities of devotion are increasing. Prabhupada gives as an example with deity worship. I do this in the beginning because it's to be done. And as one is progressing, one's mind becomes occupied with thoughts of how to decorate the deity nicely and so on. How to have nice ornaments, nice outfits, nice festivals, nice, and not because it's to be done, but because there's some attraction. It becomes more personal, less mechanical, or less dutiful. But the beginning may very well be dutiful. And there's nothing wrong in that. In fact, that's where one wants to begin. And some people say, I don't want to do something just because I want to do it because I want to do it. Which, there's some merit to that. Once you put one's heart into what one does, even dutiful things. Somewhere more towards the beginning stage, at least for moving on the akinchana path or the nivritti path, is a willingness to Prabhupada's phrase is, be a strict follower. Not strict follow just because, you know, my personality is, I'm a strict person. I like to be strict. But having really strong commitment to sadhana practices. Dridha vrata, strong determination. I'm going to strongly rise early, morning back practices, you know, not just struggling, but I'm firm, resolved. So that's a sign of progress on that path of nivritti, is to remove the unwanted things, which the effect of which is the struggle itself. to get to this. So a commitment to the practices, and that commitment to practices doesn't become less over time. It becomes a part of one's life. But while it's a part of one's life, it's not, my attention is going in the front end of strictness, or adherence. It's to subtler things while that's in place. On the strength borrowed from that strictness comes the ability to remove subtler things.
Brings me to another question. What stage is one qualified to have deities at home?
When one has the right understanding and the right and a degree of purity and degree of commitment. I turn it the other way around and say, where there's not fences are not likely to be made or yeah. It's not a firm line, because their person, that I feel at least, should be encouraged to take up deity worship because it will help them come up. But, you know, the safer side is that someone be patient so that they can then come up and they can aspire for that stage when they can be ready for deity worship, because it's very serious. So, clean, they take something up and they stay with that something. More in the mode of goodness, their whole lifestyle. They can take the worship of the deity not like a fad or a fashion, because that means, you know, today you do it, tomorrow you've lost interest. That's just a fad. Let them maintain some regular worship of without deities, in preparation, anticipation of accepting deities, and having the right regard for it. Okay, I've accepted the deity form of Krishna in my home. And then stay with it. There can, you know, it can be on the more liberal side, depending upon the individuals involved.